and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have the great fortune of several very special and honored guests that we would like to welcome to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. First is His Holiness Srila Romapad Swami Maharaj, who is one of the very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who first came to Krishna consciousness in the very early days of this movement. Which year? 1969, he came in Buffalo, New York. And then he was also in Boston. And for many years, he was a coordinator of book distribution and temple president of some of the prominent temples in the world, such as New York City, and is very loved throughout the world for his scholarship of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, as presented by Srila Prabhupada's books, as well as his natural humility and devotion and great determination under all circumstances to serve his Guru Maharaj. He's presently one of the members of the Governing Body Commission, and he is one of the great inspirations of our Krishna consciousness movement. And today he has so kindly taken his precious time to give us a nice discourse. So let us welcome His Holiness Srila Romapad Maharaj. Some guests I just happened to be seeing, who are like moons in the galaxy of stars. One is a very dear god brother of mine, Mitra Sena Prabhu, who has very surprisingly bestowed his mercy upon us, along with his good wife Mahara Prabhu. Mitra Sena Prabhu is one of the very famous book distributors from the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, and has been very faithfully serving this mission for many, many years. Could you please stand up? Kindly?
To lead kirtan.
He could lead kirtan, yes. One of the most wonderful kirtan leaders as well. Everyone, kindly welcome him. Mahara Devi Prabhu, can you please stand up? One of the very senior most disciples of Srila Prabhupada, very famous in the early days of ISKCON, as she was the number one biggest book distributor in the early days of our movement. And she is just a wonderful example of Krishna conscious qualities. She's so steadily and wonderfully served her Guru Maharaj in this mission for so many years. Many years ago, she lived at New Vrindavan as well. And let us kindly welcome her to Sri Radha. And one devotee has come from London, England, Sitaram Prabhu. Where? Please stand up kindly. Sitaram Prabhu is the coordinator of the congregational preaching and one of the leaders of Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, England. And he has come to Radha Gopinath Temple to investigate how we are doing and to give us his good suggestions of how we can improve. So everyone, he'll be here for about a week. So please give him your wonderful association and let us greet him. most illustrious and beloved disciple of His Holiness Srila Mukunda Goswami Maharaj has come again to give us his auspicious association. Before coming to this movement, he was a very successful professional as a journalist in communications and many other fields. And now, by the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, he is the leader of communications for all of India. And Mukunda Maharaj is always so much out of the love of his heart, praising this wonderful disciple and engaging him in most important services for the welfare of all living beings. So let us welcome Haridam Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath. I'm sorry that whatever I said is so insufficient. These great souls they have all dedicated their lives in the loving service of the Lord. So there is absolutely no possibility of a conditioned being like myself to properly express their glorious attributes. So at this time we would like to invite Srila Romapad Maharaj to kindly enlighten us with Srila Prabhupada's sacred message.
I'm going to have to speak right into the microphone because I have a... Well, you'll hear in my voice, not such a strong health condition. But from my previous visit here to Radha Gopinath Mandir, it was such a memorable inspiration that despite my condition, I was very determined to come and be with all of you again. When I met Radhanath Maharaj very briefly in Chicago, I'm one of the GBC members in Chicago Temple, and of course Radhanath Maharaj was visiting there briefly. He described the dedication here at Radha Gopinath Mandir for bringing Krishna consciousness to the colleges and to the youth in general. Of course, to everyone, but a particular team of brahmacharis. 10 full-time? 12 full-time? Are visiting colleges? How many?
95.
That's how many colleges, 35 colleges. How many of the brahmacharis are doing this program? Huh? 8, full time. And others I'm sure also visit. So this is very dear to my heart also. While visiting here in India, I spent some time at some of the universities where some devotees are doing wonderful, wonderful, wonderful service for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by presenting Krishna consciousness in a very thorough manner to university students. So I thought I would speak this evening, and while I was visiting there, I spent 1 week discussing the instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj to his schoolmates, which I thought would be very appropriate considering what I just took it that This is very dear to Radhanath Maharaj's heart. So those of you that are doing this program, actually this visit 1 year ago, I also visited. I remember the plan was being made how different schools could be contacted and in a systematic way introducing Krishna consciousness. That's when this effort that's now matured 1 year later up to 35 universities regularly being visited. So this is very dear to Radhanath Maharaj's heart and also very dear to Srila Prabhupada's heart. And I can probably guess that some of you who are with us here this evening are the beneficiaries, the fruit of such efforts. So Prahlad Maharaj wanted to do the same. Very dear to Prahlad Maharaj's heart also. And I want to just summarize some of the things that Prahlad Maharaj instructed to those who were in this youthful stage of life, thinking anything but buckling down to serious spiritual activity. So the beginning of this chapter where Prahlad instructs his sons, Prahlad instructs his schoolmate, friends, comes as soon as Sunda and Amarka leave the classroom unattended. Now normally when teachers leave the classroom, bedlam breaks loose. That's standard. Kids are kids. But Prahlad Maharaj, being a great Vaishnav, he took the opportunity for bedlam and instead made it an opportunity for imparting Krishna consciousness to others. And the very first verse of the chapter is a very famous one. You probably have heard. Komara acharat pragyo. Dharman bhagavatan iha. Durlabham manusham janma. Prahlad is saying to his friends that this human form of life is very rare. I remember hearing Prabhupada personally giving a lecture describing just how rare we can think of this human form of life. If you can imagine in the middle of an ocean, this was Prabhupada's example, you can imagine in the middle of an ocean a big board, a plank, and in that plank there's a hole, a knot hole from the wood. And the plank is floating along. And a turtle is swimming under the water. Now, turtles stay underwater, especially in Radhakund. They stay underwater for a long time. They're very old turtles, too. But every now and then, they come to the surface. And they poke their head, take a deep breath, back down again. So if in the whole vast, let's say Indian Ocean, one of the seven oceans, that big turtle surfaces, out of all the places he could surface in the whole ocean, surfaces right there and sticks his head through the opening, through the knot hole in the plank floating in the ocean, what are the chances that that's likely to happen? Very, very unlikely. Some of our mathematicians might calculate. What is the probability of such an event happening? Not very probable. So similarly, achieving this human form of life, durlabham manusham janma. It's very, very, very rare to achieve such a thing, this human form. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Komara acharat pragyo. Persons who are pragya, who are full with knowledge, very intelligent persons, not ordinary persons. Are going to take proper advantage of this human form of life. But persons who are pragya, at least sufficiently intelligent, at least that much, intelligent, sufficiently intelligent, dharman bhagavatan iha, to take up the activities of this human form of life in such a manner that the personality of Godhead is approached by proper discharge of duties in life. And Prahlad fires up his classmates this way by saying that it's very easy. This is one of the themes of the whole chapter. It's very, very easy. Because tad api adruvam arthadam. Because even a little endeavor, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So, tadapi adruvam arthadam. The goal of life is very quickly approached if one takes this human form of life and properly engages it in service to the personality of Godhead. So, now I'll just explain some of the other things. This is how he begins. Don't waste your time. He's speaking to six-year-old boys. Some of the boys wearing their yellow kurtas, they're gone now. They have a separate class? Oh, okay. Imagine telling a six-year-old boy the things that Prahlad is telling. I'm just going to summarize now, that Prahlad tells his friends. Materialistic pursuits in life are a misuse of the human energy. He explains that so much energy in this human society is being wasted, unnecessarily wasted, by pursuing economic development for the maintenance of one's family and the fulfillment of so many desires, fruitive desires of life. He's warning them, don't pursue this path of material existence. He calls it bhavam ashritam, taking shelter of materialistic life. And Prabhupada explains that this can also be read bhayam ashritam, because taking shelter of materialistic life is actually very bhayam, very fearful. Very fearful condition. Padam padam yadi padam natesham. One of the devotees that introduced me to Krishna consciousness was Rupanuga Prabhu. He was in charge of the college program where I was attending school, just like some of you are attending some programs conducted by some devotees. So you know how important that relationship is with the devotee who is taking care of your spiritual life. So one day I was riding in the subway in New York City with Rupanuga Prabhu. Actually, the circumstances are very unusual. It was the brainwashing case. We were going to this district courthouse before the district attorney as he was accusing the Hare Krishna movement of brainwashing its members. We were going for the hearing with the DA. So as we were riding in the subway, he was looking around the subway car, just like you might be stopped at some light here in the traffic of Bombay, look at the people. Consider for a moment, just imagine in your mind a scene like that. Besides the air pollution, you roll the windows up and so you don't gag and start coughing. Where are these people going? As they're rushing this way, rushing that way, the three-wheelers scooting in front of everybody and the scooters in front of the three-wheelers and everybody rushing to be the first in line, where are they going? Do they know where they're going? I mean, in a higher sense, do they know where they're going? Do they know that they'll even get there? In a real sense? Actually, material life is very blind and foolish. Prahlad is explaining this to his friends. It's actually a very fearful condition. At any moment, one of these little flimsy cars that moves around in Bombay can get smashed by one truck. Maybe some of you have seen it. I've seen it here in India. Finished. Instant death. Gone. They're going at great speed to get to their position of enjoyment, wherever it may be. Running here, running there. No certainty at all that they're going to reach that destination. No certainty at all. It's a very fearful condition. And even when getting there, Prahlad Maharaj explains, what is the happiness that's enjoyed? Don't be so foolish, my dear friends. Don't be so foolish to pursue this material enjoyment. Material enjoyment comes of its own accord, as much as unhappiness comes of its own accord. Who is running here, running there to find unhappiness? But it comes. And the happiness that one is destined to achieve also comes. So running here, running there to get the happiness that you fearfully, whether you're anticipating the interruption of that endeavor or not, just like that. And one day, if not today, then tomorrow or tomorrow's tomorrow, finished. Everything finished. So Prahlad is pleading with his friends, don't waste your life in that way. And aside from that, Prahlad explains, the very pursuit itself of material activity binds one. He gives the example of a silkworm. By the endeavors of the silkworm, he makes his own cocoon. And after he finishes with so much, practically his whole life endeavor is to make this little cocoon, then he can't get out. He's trapped inside his own cocoon and he dies. So Prahlad Maharaj explains, don't you understand that this material activity is only suffering? You're only 6-year-old boys. And so you're thinking, we just want to play, Prahlad. We're just young boys. Now is the time for life, time in life for that joyful spirit. So come to Radha Gopinath Mandir and you'll also find the joyful spirit. You'll find the joyful spirit where not only 6-year-old boys but 80-year-old men and everybody in between is also very joyfully taking part in Bhagavad Dharma, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. and learning that means by which all of life's activities can be devoted to Krishna without exception. Abandoning this bhavam ashrita and taking bhagavat ashraya, taking shelter of the personality of Godhead in loving devotional service. Don't even waste. Chanakya Pandit gives this indication. Even this human form of life is so valuable that you cannot even purchase one moment with any amount of wealth, gold, rupees or dollars or any currency. You can't buy back 1 second of time. So which is more valuable, 1 second of time or all the wealth in the world? This human form of life is so rare. So Prahlad Maharaj characterizes further this cocoon existence of the materialistic person. Having become very attached to home, I'm going to read what Prahlad, very nice, how he describes. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart, being always filled with their pictures, give up their association once in the cocoon? Specifically, a wife is always very kind. Wives are always very kind. And sympathetic. Always sympathetic. And always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear. And their affectionate fathers always think of their sweet words. How can he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father. And while living at her father's house, she is always in his mind. Who would give up this association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder, now he gives the example, is like the silkworm. By attachment to all material things, in the absence of an awake state of Krishna consciousness, one has to develop an attachment, very deep attachment, for these material things. They become, in fact, all in all for such an attached personality. And Prahlad goes on explaining, so carefully does the materialist use every paisa, every little bit of his asset, while at the same time, the most valuable thing, this human form of life, is being squandered. It's called penny wise and pound foolish. Saving the pennies and losing the crores. More than crores. Crores and crores and crores. The most valuable thing, this human form of life, is being wasted. Unless, so Prahlad Maharaj is invoking, and this can be the spirit. We may not, just as Prahlad Maharaj does, go to each university class and pour out our heart in the same manner. But this is in the heart of the devotee. Therefore, please, don't waste this valuable human form of life. So Prahlad is anticipating. These boys are just 6 years old. They're sons of asuras, big time. Not just, you know, modern small-timers, asuras. Big-time asuras. And they're being trained how to be following their footsteps. of their asuric parentage. That's what's expected of them. Everything is being directed in that manner. So he's anticipating that they're thinking, not possible. This is too difficult. Everything, the whole, just like Kali Yuga. This is a nice idea, taking up Bhagavad Dharma, but everything is surcharged with opposition. And it's true. But Prahlad Maharaj is explaining, very easy. It's very easy. Very easy if you have the right association. So just like Narada, who instructed me, he had the association of the personality of Godhead, Narayan. And he came in a very remote place and he instructed. And so, let's get into it. Kirtan, right here in the classroom. Take part in this very simple activity of hearing the message of Krishna consciousness in congregation. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It's so glorious that even in this dark and very difficult age of Kali, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam, even in places where avidya is the pinnacle of success. In fact, that's how Prabhupada characterizes the modern educational system. It's systematic propagation of avidya. And from childhood, one is getting spoonful after spoonful after spoonful after spoonful until that's their only diet, avidya. But this knowledge of transcendental life is so powerful when it is practiced in the association of saintly persons. It immediately dispels the darkness of material existence. Prahlad was on Sankirtan, right there in the classroom. So we, under Srila Prabhupada's direction, I don't know if any of you have heard Prabhupada's lectures when he speaks on the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. There's that quality in Prabhupada's voice where his voice starts to tremble and crack. Gets so excited about this message that Prahlad Maharaj is giving. It's so compelling, so urgent, that we not waste and appeal to others with our Krishna consciousness. The packaging may be one form or another form, but the sense of urgency must be there in our heart, as with Prahlad Maharaj, as with Srila Prabhupada, following in their footsteps, yajaracharati shrestas. Prabhupada obviously, from listening to his speaking on Prahlad Maharaj, derives so much inspiration from these speeches of Prahlad to invoke Krishna consciousness in the hearts and in the minds of others. And as Srila Prabhupada became so inspired, he in turn, by that inspiration, inspired millions, literally millions of people. And to this day, through his books, and through his disciples, and through his whole movement, he's inspiring yet more millions upon millions of persons. So this has to be in all of our Sankirtan activity, all of our preaching activity, all of our chanting in congregation together, just as you all are doing so nicely, with great joy and enthusiasm, this has to be done. One of the It's not to be mechanically performed. Visiting, when Bhima Karma came back from visiting you in New Vrindavan, he brought with him one former Gurukul student. I think his name was Hanuman. You know him? Anyway, he brought him to introduce him to me. And stood at the door. Prabhupada Swami liked you to meet Hanuman. I think that's his name. We went to school together in New Vrindavan. And Hanuman shook his head and said, "Hari Bol, Panchakalpa Maharaj." Or like you may go to Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, going to buy something for the temple. And the merchants are sitting there at the edge of their little stand. "Hare Krishna, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hari Bol." The quality is not the same. Krishna's name is there, benefit is there. But the quality of calling upon Krishna's name with great feeling, just as when we go to perform our preaching activity, as Prahlad Maharaj is doing, speaking with great feeling, with great, great compassion. Whatever the words, whatever the class, whatever the presentation we may be making or going and distributing books, whatever. The potency, of course, the activity itself is authorized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the chanting of the holy name in any condition. Practicing the Sankirtan movement on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in any manner has its beneficial effect. But Prahlad Maharaj is instructing how we should be carrying in our consciousness great compassion, so that persons take this very, very rare gift, durlabham manasham janma, and practice Krishna consciousness and save their lives from the great misfortune of wasting human existence, but instead coming to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, a wonderful enlivening kirtan amongst all the devotees, and let their lives be changed. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
To thank Srila Ramapad Maharaj for his beautiful explanation of the teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, which really were so dear to Srila Prabhupada. Throughout the world, Srila Prabhupada would regularly give classes from these particular verses spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. When we see today's society, we can understand why. He was speaking to children who were born in a society of asuras. And in this age of Kali Yuga, everyone is spiritually like a child, deeply influenced by the society around them, which is a demoniac society, a society of exploitation, greed, where from the very beginning of our lives, the illusion is perpetuated that we are these bodies. All of the designations in relationship to this bodies are what we should give our lives to increase, to protect, to expand in so many ways. Prahlad Maharaj's teachings are for everyone. But mostly, we must know it is not only what he spoke, but how he spoke. He was willing to sacrifice his very life to help others attain the welfare of Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj was so bold, yet so humble, that even his own father, Hiranyakashipu, he would address him with all great respect, "O my father, O king of the demons." Calling Hiranyakashipu king of the demons is actually to praise him. And he explained that the best thing I have understood in the school is that you have completely wasted your life foolishly aspiring for prestige and sense gratification. And you should give up your demonic ways and you should go to a holy place, associate with devotees, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing his glories and then chanting the holy names. Prahlad Maharaj repeated the words of his spiritual master perfectly, wherever he was, in every situation, as an act of compassion. In this age of Kali, Prahlad Maharaj appeared in Satya Yuga. And in this age of Kali Yuga, Prahlad Maharaj appeared again in the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Srila Vasudeva Dutt. And the heart of a real Vaishnav was revealed through Vasudeva Dutt. One time he approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and with tears of sincerity in his eyes and folded palms, he begged Lord Chaitanya for one benediction. Everyone in this world is in so much need of help. And everyone is asking everyone for benedictions of one sort or another. And people are going to the temples and the churches and the mosques and the synagogues, begging God for benedictions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was willing to give anyone any benediction if they approached him with proper devotion. He asked that the living beings in this world are suffering due to so much sinful karma that is coming upon them. And instead of trying to make a solution, they are only aggravating and increasing. Prahlad Maharaj explained that if you want to be happy in this world, stop trying to be happy in this world. Because the more you try to be happy in this world, the more you implicate yourself in the sources of misery. Yehi samsparashaja bhoga dukha jonaya evate atyanta vantakonteya nate suramate pura. The pleasures in this world are the reasons why we suffer. We engage in karmic activities and entangle ourselves in the network of so much duality. And ultimately, what we become attached, what we derive pleasure from, we become attached to, and then it is torn away from us by the power of time. So the desire to find material pleasure is the source of all pain and misery. And everyone is looking for material pleasure. And look at society today, what sort of a polluted mess it is. And it is all born of this search for pleasure, which is misdirected. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj explained, if you want to be happy, stop trying to be happy. But at the same time, the soul is pleasure-seeking. Anandamayo bhyashat. The soul has to find happiness. It is satchit ananda by nature. It is its constitutional position to be in ecstasy, to be in bliss. Therefore, we must direct our desire for pleasure not in trying to exploit the property of God, but in utilizing them in the service of God. And that is bhakti. That is the essence of Prahlad's teachings. By following the 9 processes of devotional service, we can 24 hours. But in this world, in the age of Kali Yuga, it is very rare to find one who is even willing to understand this teachings. So Vasudev Dat, upon seeing the suffering condition of humanity, his heart was grieving in agony. Paraduka Duki. A devotee's misery is to see others miserable. And a devotee's happiness is to see others' happiness. This is explained to be the basic principle of religion, which is appreciated by all saintly persons. For a saintly person, the most heartbreaking experience is not simply to see people miserable, but to see people wasting their lives enjoying. When we see people suffering in the street, it breaks our heart. But we understand, at least they know they're suffering. At least there's some chance that they can take the medicine because they know they're sick. But more heartbreaking is when we see people dancing and smiling and laughing to material enjoyment. Getting lots and lots of money and lots of prestige and success and victory. Such persons are completely entangled in the illusion of material existence. And if you ask them, why don't you take this medicine of Harinam Sankirtan? They will say, no, no, I am enjoying. So the world is made up of these two classes of men. People who are suffering and know they're suffering, and people who are suffering and have not yet discovered the reality. So Vasudev Dat explained to Lord Chaitanya that I want everyone to go back to Godhead. Not only all human beings, every species of life and every soul within it, let them all go back to the spiritual world and enjoy loving pastimes with you. But the problem is, they have so much sinful karma, all of them. They cannot go back to Godhead unless that sinful karma is removed from them. So therefore, let me take it all. Let me suffer eternally in hell, miserably, and let everybody in the universe enjoy wonderful pastimes with you in the spiritual world. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he began to weep and cry. Because what Vasudev Dat was speaking, he meant it. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and explained on many occasions that I have sold my body to Vasudev Dat. By his compassion to other living beings, he has purchased me. He can sell me anywhere he decides to sell me. But please know, I am the property of Vasudev Dat. My body belongs to him. My life belongs to him. Krishna becomes subordinate to this compassion of the love of such a devotee. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada repeated the wonderful teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, he was in that spirit of Vasudev Dat. He was in the spirit of Prahlad Maharaj. He was speaking because he genuinely cared about delivering the miserable condition of the soul. He was not speaking for money or for fame. He was not speaking as a ritual. He was genuinely delivering the message of his spiritual master and the previous acharyas as a true friend for all living beings. And when we hear these teachings from such a soul, when we read these purports of the seventh canto by Srila Prabhupada, or hear his lectures, we are genuinely associating not only with Srila Prabhupada, but with Vasudev Dutt, with Prahlad Maharaj, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So how important it is for us to regularly hear these teachings and very, very carefully aspire in the association of the Lord's devotees to apply them to our life. Prahlad Maharaj is eternally famous for perfecting one of the nine processes of devotional service: Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, because he was always remembering Krishna. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna is the culmination and the essence of all transcendental knowledge. And how to always remember Krishna? It is very simple. The Lord has come in this age of Kali to make it very simple. Come together with the devotees and chant the holy name. And take that inspiration with you to your homes, to your businesses, to wherever you go. Keep the holy name always resounding in your heart and on your lips, because the holy name of Krishna will cleanse us, purify us of all the sources of misery and suffering within us, and bring about the awakening of our original natural Krishna consciousness, that blissful state which we are all longing for. So at this time, let us have kirtan of the holy name. Let us chant in the mood that Srila Romapad Maharaj has delivered his wonderful talk, in the mood of Vasudev Dutt, praying that we can be instruments of such great souls as Prahlad Maharaj. We should chant so sincerely, so loudly, that the beautiful sound of the holy name fills the whole universe and brings everyone back to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Go Premanandi!